And I speak in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Easter, a time when we do celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A time in the season that is so important to us as a Christian people. It is so important that we do gather on a Sunday, the day of the resurrection, to remember his resurrection. That's why we resurrection. But why is it so important? Why is the resurrection really necessary? Is it necessary at all? Does it really matter that Jesus rose from the dead? I mean, the part of people who rose from the dead, Jairus' daughter was risen from the dead. In the Old Testament, there is an incredible story of some people who were marching on to a funeral procession. And the people, four girls who were carrying dead bodies, they stumbled and they fell. And the bodies fell apparently onto the bones of the old folks. The dead man came back to life. We have Lazarus came back to life. But he don't make such kind of tension to such a story. Why is it so important that Jesus is born from the dead? Well, the resurrection of Christ, as I say, is at the heart of the Christian faith. For it is by his resurrection that death and sin are conquered. And the key word here is conquered. His resurrection is the assurance that Christ has done all that is necessary and all that will ever be required for the restoration of humanity, your creation to God. You see, the resurrection gives us hope. Hope that just as Christ passed through shame, betrayal, denial, and even the darkness of death, we too, in him, will not be overcome by the darkness of the present age and of the era of the future. That we will not be drowned in shame. That even as the psalmist says that in me, mother and father forsake me, we have that hope that the Lord will still take us out. The resurrection is so important because it tells us that there is no death, that Christ will not go to come and restore us. Actually, one songwriter, Corey Asbury, in his song Reckless Love, that there is no shadow you won't light up, and no mountain you won't climb coming after me. There is no wall you will not keep down, and lie you will not tear down coming after me. This is the hope of that resurrection brings. This is why it is quite important. Because the resurrection is based on what Christ has done, not what we ourselves can do. It is by this power, directly from the truth, that we ourselves are sure of our salvation. The reason as to why it is very, very important is because you see, at the cross, our story, that story of shame, that story of sin, that story of death hanging over us, becomes the story of Jesus. And after resurrection, as he busts forth from the tomb, as he conquers death, that becomes our story. At the cross, Jesus takes our story. Resurrection, we take his. And stories are really important. And all of us gathered here today, we do have our own stories. Of course, I do not know quite a lot about our stories. But some of us, in life, myself included, some of our stories are legacy of great change. Failure, shortcomings, disappointments. I mean, some of the stories are really brilliant. And bring them back.
some breakthrough. And just like Jeremiah 29, the money might have been a wonderful comeback and was able to win this wonderful football. Just like the other day, it was coming to the end of his age, reading the F1 sprint, and hoping to get it, he would be able to do the same. Great stories of celebration. Sometimes these stories are made to be disappointment and shame. And this morning, the reading that we have tells us of two stories. One by the sea, and one on the last road. One of the disciples whom we will say fail, and the other one who had a zeal of persecuting the church. But in these two stories, Jesus still revealed himself to these two people. Jesus revealed himself to Peter and also Paul. Let us have a look at Peter at the start. This is Jesus again as we have read his disciples the first time after his resurrection. I do find it quite interesting this part of the story, because we do know the story of Peter, it's about stories again. Of course, we do not recognize Jesus. The more important thing, just a few days before this incident, Peter was one of the disciples who ran to the tomb and saw the stone had been rolled away and the tomb. Peter was among the disciples who, when Mary Magdalene saw the Lord and came back to the gate of the court, Peter was among them. Peter was among the disciples who, when Jesus came into the upper room, when the room, when the door was still locked, he was in that room. Thomas was not there. But Jesus decided, well, no, Thomas was not there, but come again. Jesus showed me come again. Peter was still in that room. So, these were empty tomb. Mary Magdalene told him about the empty tomb and said, see Jesus. Jesus appeared to him in the room and no one came to him. But still, after all this, Peter said, you know what? Just forget about Jesus. Let's forget about it. I'm going back fishing. And indeed, he goes back fishing. Goes back to what he knew very, very well. What he was successful about. And he knew very, very well to do. But again, our story of failure. Such an experienced fisherman. Who say he was a big rustic? 3 years ago, I've been in the bread, who said he was a big rustic? And all that, they catch. And Jesus comes and appears to them once again. And he calls them, children, have you no fish? And they all respond, no. The one who thinks was very, very disappointed. But again, Jesus reveals himself. And Peter recognizes and realizes it is Jesus. Goes on his cloak, dies in the sea, and streams to Jesus. The most amazing thing about this story is what Peter finds from which Jesus is there, and he finds a chapel fire. And this is quite important because it reminds us, eventually reminds us Peter, of the time that he denied Jesus, and Jesus was stuck in the courtyard of the high priest, stuck around the fire. Everyone came up to Jesus 3 times, that the new world, Peter was a gentleman, and Peter denied. Jesus setting the stage for him, and Jesus asked this question to Simon Peter, do you deny him? 3 times Peter denies Jesus. 3 times Jesus asks Peter to deny. The interaction between Jesus and Peter draws him towards freedom, towards restoration. That regardless of his story, Jesus takes that story of shame and comes to gives unto him freedom, gives him a new story. filled with guilt and shame into heart and into long and respect. About the time Jesus, the kind of Jesus I can use in the moment. But Jesus here comes and provides for him an opportunity for restoration. And that is what the resurrection of Christ is for now. Giving us another chapter in the I think it is almost the same, the story of the very two parts, about this gentleman at this time called Saul. Of course, working very hard, very, very zealous, persecuting those who believe in Christ. And Christ reveals himself once again to him and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Jesus himself once again goes to the deepest depths to reveal himself to his people. Jesus does not judge, but Jesus offers a way out of submission. Jesus Christ reveals himself, the very person who was persecuting him. But he did not reveal himself in a strife of passion. But to call him, to choose him, to send him. And Jesus Christ is continually bringing himself into us even in his day. And Jesus, by his resurrection, is willing to change our story. To take that story, those stories that we have of shame and pain, and to come back to the story. Later on, we will be singing a wonderful hymn before the throne of God. There is one incredible verse there that I'm just going to conclude. And this is what that verse says. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, after I look and I see him there who made an end to all of my sin. Because the sinner says it out, my sinful soul is counted free. The God of just is satisfied to look on him and come to me. Jesus taking our soul, just like we did with Peter, to speak his soul. By his resurrection, we take his soul and live in resurrection with him and resurrection.